baby girl she's holding. I mean, baby boy. My wife doesn't like that. Because everywhere we go, they think that he is a she because of his long hair. He is a member of one of the wonderful Native American communities that surround us, and he's in foster care, and they do not allow us to cut their hair. Imagine if you had a babysitter for your child, and the babysitter cut your child's hair. You'd be like, why don't you do that, right? So we are basically like long-term babysitters when it comes to being foster parents. So we're not allowed to make those choices, and it's a cultural thing, so if his hair is going to grow, well, he has it up in ponytails and all that kind of fun stuff. He came into our home when he was 2 days old. We picked him up from the hospital. He's been with us ever since. You know, Cece knows him very well. He does know him. I know, it's crazy. The next two beautiful young ladies are Ricky and I's birth daughters, Trinity and Mercy. They are both in the local middle school. They are both Girl Scouts, selling Girl Scout cookies. See what I did for you there? They're both in the band. They are both in student government. And their dad and mom are very proud of them. The next little guy there is Mason. He came into our home. He was the first of 15 foster children that come into our home. He came in when he was 4 weeks old. We adopted him when he was 18 months old. He just turned 7. Praise God for him. And then the little girl that's last in line there, she's 4 years old. She's Riley. She also came into our home through foster care. We adopted her when she was 2 years old. And she is a little blessing as well. The Bible tells us that we are all God's creation, but we are not all God's children. In order to get into God's family, you have to be adopted. And the pastor spoke about that this morning, that we are not all automatically arrive on earth as one of God's children. We have to be adopted. Just like Riley and Mason were adopted into my family, we have to be adopted into God's family. And the next slide will tell us in John 1:12, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. Now, I'm not talking about accepting Jesus into your heart. Now, that language is language that I have used to teach before. It's something I learned growing up, but it really doesn't describe what it is to become a Christian or to be adopted into God's family. We do not accept Jesus into our heart, especially when you share this with children. They're very literal, very concrete thinkers. They think that Jesus is actually going to open up and come into your flesh and body and reside in a little house in there. So I don't like to use that language because it's not very accurate, because we don't make Jesus a part of our life. We don't invite him to come onto the hard drive of our life, if you will, and download the Jesus app. I think I got a Jesus app slide here next, yes. Download the Jesus app, and you know, you can use him next to all your other apps. We don't invite Jesus to become a part of our life. Jesus gives us life. We are dead in our sin, and Jesus gives us life. We don't invite him to be a part of our life, or to be our co-pilot, or to come to hang out with us, or to be our homeboy, or things like that. He gives us life. He gives us his life. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the truth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So how do we get adopted into God's family? Let me share with you how. Okay? And then share it all over the world. Let's do this, right? In Romans, it tells us that if we openly declare that Jesus is Lord — Lord is a religious word that means boss — so declare that Jesus is your boss and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Next slide tells us, as the scriptures tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Adoption is a picture of the gospel. It is a shadow of the gospel. Earthly adoption, when Riley and Mason were adopted in my family, they received a very imperfect father. They received an imperfect family. Ricky and I were not Mason and Riley's savior. If anything, they saved us. They blessed us. God used them to make our family so much better and to bless this church. I'm convinced that after we discipline and mold Mason, that he is going to be a great man of God. I believe that. I see that caterpillar. Dylan got to go got the great privilege of hanging out with all the middle school boys. And he's like, David, was I ever like this? Yes, you were. And this is payback. That's why I've invited you to come and experience it. Him and Victor Rysing together, we're just, oh, okay. And that's just where these students are at. They're caterpillars. And praise God that Dylan has turned into a wonderful man of God that I look up to and respect. And I don't ask just, you know, people fresh out of high school to be counselors. I asked him when he was a high schooler to be counselor. I just don't go around and do that. It's because of this church and his family, his parents, who have come alongside him and gone through the good times and the bad times and the choices that Dylan made himself as well. Adoption is an imperfect picture of the gospel, but it is the language that God himself uses. In Ephesians 1:5, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through who? Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. God is amazing. And that same amazing God that is working here and now in our church and in our lives was also working 2,889 years ago in the life of a man named Elijah. We're going to take a look at that man and learn some things from his life and his ministry. His name means something special in the next slide there, Kathy. It means, my God is Yahweh. It's a great declaration of faith built into his name. El is God, and then Yah is Yahweh. God is not God's name. God is a title. I want to explain that. When I grew up in church, I said OMG, but I didn't say OMG, and my very conservative Baptist Sunday school teacher who loved me and corrected me said, you don't take God's name in vain. And I'm like, that's not God's name. I'm such a smart-aleck kid. I guess I'm still a smart-aleck adult. But God is not his name. God is his title. For example, if I were to tell you that the president is going to come and speak to you tonight, I get some weird reactions to that, okay? But in fact, the president is speaking to you tonight right now because I am the president of the Fountain Hills Disc Golf Club. Come and join, all right? Bill Beamish is president of the Rotary Club, all right? So president is our title. David is my name. So God is his title, and Yahweh is his name. And Elijah lived in a time where people served many false gods. So whenever he would go and he would be prophesizing or ministering or doing what he was doing, he's like, I'm Elijah, my God is Yahweh. Boom, right there. It's an open declaration of the one and true God. And God used him to do some things that were very strange. Some very amazing miracles that are recorded in the Bible were done in the life of Elijah. So let's take a look at that. 1 Kings 17 is where we're going to be. Start in verse 1. 1 Kings 17. Are you ready? Here we go. Now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by Kerith, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens. For I have commanded them to bring you food. So Elijah did as the Lord told him, camped beside Kerith Brook, east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. But after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. The next slide shows us a map of the place that this historical event took place in. Samaria is the capital of Israel. This is where the bad King Ahab lived. This is where he delivered this very bad news. His hometown was there to the right in Tishbe, and God told him, I want you to go hide. It's strange to me that the God of the universe would have a man of God deliver a very powerful message and then say, go and hide. He's the God of the universe. He can do anything, right? Like, okay, God, I'm going to go serve the Lord, deliver the message. And God's like, hide. Like, what? Okay, go hide. That just doesn't seem to be the way that God should work. But this is the way that God's working here. And he sent him near his hometown, just as if God told us to hide by Sycamore Creek or to hide by the Verde River. It's places that are not what you do at Sycamore. to a very familiar place, so he knew where it was going to be. And then he did something strange. He sent an animal to deliver food to Elijah. And it wasn't just any ordinary animal. It was a raven. Okay? Ask Edgar Allan Poe about ravens, okay? They don't seem to be like, you know, never. They don't seem to be like the animal that God would use. And the Old Testament tells us that ravens are unclean animals. Lord, maybe you haven't read your book, but those are not the right birds to use. You know, why are you using ravens? All right? They, like, they eat roadkill, and they're going to make me unclean. Lord, you can just, I want to be like the Israelites, manna from heaven, and appears on the ground. It's white and fluffy, and what is it? You know, God, I want you to work the way I want you to work. Isn't that how we are? We want God to do things the way we want it, or the way that we expect it, but he sends a raven, something we wouldn't expect, something that is ceremoniously unclean, that's just a dirty, scary bird, and he had to rely on this every single day. And then, God, why, you're all-powerful, you control all things, can't you just, like, sit me next to a Chick-fil-A? Just like, Chick-fil-A, Lord, that's where I want to live, and I'll serve you right there and hide, all right? I'll hide in the playground. It'd be great. And I'll fast on Sundays. All right, but Lord, just give me Chick-fil-A. But God doesn't do things our way. God doesn't work the way we do. God doesn't think the way we do. Imagine if Elijah said, Lord, I'm not going to do that because that's not what I expect. But so often that's what we do. That's what I do. I miss out on God's provision. I miss out on God's work because I want him to work through a different way or a different method, right? I forgot to plug this, so I'll plug this now. This is the survey for the music and children's director. Have you filled out your questionnaire? Front and back, it's available online as well. So turn that in to Pastor Tony or to Tom, and they'll take that for you. Let me share a concern that I have with this, right? When you guys fill this out, I want you guys to take this seriously, that I want you to make a photocopy of it. So whenever the person or persons that God's going to call to fill this position or positions, all right, I want you to have it on hand, right? And then when that person comes, I want you to compare what they are to what you put down here. And I guarantee you it's probably not going to be what you put on here. And that's absolutely right. That God does things that may not be according to our preference or to our likings. It's okay to have preferences, and God uses those things. But I just want you to encourage you guys that just right off the bat, it's probably not going to be what you're expecting or what you prefer or any of those things. But I will guarantee you this, that the person or persons that we call to these positions or position, all right, is going to be the person that God has called. And I want to encourage you guys to follow their leadership, even if you may not prefer them. If they're, you know, we're probably not going to get a worship leader as good as Rebecca or Linda Jensen, or to have that kind of experience, you know? It's just probably not going to be that way. But whoever God's calls, we just need to follow. We need to be good followers. So I just want to encourage you in that. And to give you an example of how sometimes God does things that I don't like according to my own preferences, because I have preferences. I'm like you. I prefer things, right? I grew up in an independent fundamentalist Baptist church. And this church, basically, you had to go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, and Thursday morning visitation, or you didn't love Jesus. The King James Version of the Bible was the only acceptable version of God. Ladies had to wear dresses, guys had to wear ties, very conservative back that I come from. And we only sang hymns and the organ, all right? And I love hymns, all right? My favorite hymn, going to sing it for you, but after Rebecca, I don't think I can. But it's Love Lifted Me. I don't know if it's in our, is it in our hymnal? I don't even know if it is, but I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. I love that hymn, all right? So I love hymns. I love singing them. I can worship God to hymns, all right, because I grew up in that background of context. I prefer loud worship. I prefer different styles of worship. I do hip-hop as a in worship and stuff, Christchurch band. some of you, if we were to do a hip-hop song, that same kind of, like, reaction that you would have that I have to this hymn. And we sing this hymn at this church. And I'm on Sunday mornings, and the hymn starts, because we just do it at least every month. And it just drives me crazy. And I have to sit there, and I have to hear. And me and God, we just have these talks. And it's like, God, you know, I don't like this song. And God's like, I don't care if you like this song. It's about me. And I want you to look around at God's people, and they're worshiping me. And this song is about them worshiping me. And I want you just to sit and be still and just worship. So I want you guys to know that there, even in my own life, there are rhythms that God's using. And I'm just like, but sometimes he's doing it for other people. And sometimes even I need to learn to set aside my own preferences and my own expectations of what I want and what I like and set that aside and just worship God's people. And every time I tell that story, everybody wants to know. It's just about me being in a community and a body of believers and worshiping together with them, no matter if we have an acoustic guitar, if there's an organ, if there's a piano, or if it's loud or voice. Worship is about God. It's not about us. Hopefully you guys can get that. Ravens. God provides us for us in ways that often go beyond our own narrow definitions and our own expectations. Thankfully, Elijah wasn't like me or like how we are sometimes, and he just obeyed God, and he was provided for miraculously. God, don't you know that the rain's not coming, so Carrick Brook is going to dry up? Like, God, I can't go and rely on a water source that you said yourself is going to dry up. I can't do that. I need to know where my water source is going to come for the next 5 years, Lord, you know? But he didn't do that. He went, and then the brook dried up, and we're not going to finish that part, but God had another plan for him. Jesus said something that I have very much difficulty with in Matthew 6:34. So don't worry about tomorrow. It's like a command. It wasn't a suggestion. It's like, you know, if you want to, don't worry about tomorrow. God said, don't worry about tomorrow. But we often worry about tomorrow because we want to know what the next thing is. And God is just asking us to trust him for today. Trust me with how I'm going to do this. And trust me that I'm going to do it. And just worry about today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just obey me today. And often in our lives, we don't see the solution because we're not willing to take the next step. We're not willing to obey God for the step he's given us because I want to know what's 10 steps now. Lord. Then I'll take the next step. No, God just wants us to take that step. There is a slide here. We're going to have to skip a little bit here, Kathy. Go to the next one. Tegan went to Nepal, and she shared with us about the things that she did there. And she did something crazy. This was her mission plan, okay? Each day, pray to God what they should do, and then she did it. Very radical, all right? And God did miracles, and God worked wonders. And the simple plan was ask God, seek and knock. He was paying attention to this. Ask, seek, and knock, and then go do. And she saw God do some amazing things. And she didn't have the whole plan. She just asked, seek, and knock, and she did. And God did these amazing things. Next slide here. We would obey God if God just gave us the whole plan. Just give me the timeline, Lord, of my life, and what you want me to do, and I'll do it. I'm a Baptist. I will follow that to the T. I can do it, Lord. But the next slide shows us what life is really like. Life is like a maze. It is amazing, but it's a maze. And many of us, it would take us just a few minutes to go through and we could figure out that maze, right, if we had it, because we can see the big picture. But in our